Lord, we just first want to thank you for giving us another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. I believe, Lord, at times we take for granted a church. We take for granted the house of the Lord. And we ask that you would forgive us, Lord, if that's the case, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. It's a privilege to come to church. And I think one day we're fully going to understand how you used a simple Bible study on a Thursday night to keep us, to protect us, to continue that work in our hearts, Lord. We've been surrounded all day by you know, maybe secular friends or coworkers or just secular things, and that affects us, Lord. It affects us being at work all day, being around maybe ungodliness all day. That takes a toll on us. And tonight we just want to be refreshed and we want to be built up. And we want you to cleanse us, Lord, with the water of the word, Lord. Cleanse our mind, cleanse our hearts, that through your word, Lord, through the study of your word, Lord, that tonight we would just be strengthened and refreshed, and that our faith would just be fed, Lord. Do that work, Lord. Do that work that only you can do, Lord. We just commit this time into your hands. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, Lord. Give me grace to minister, to teach, and give my family grace to receive, Lord, that you would be glorified when it's all said and done. That's our prayer, Lord, and we ask all of it in your precious name. And all the family says, amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 6. And this evening, we're going to continue our study in the book of Exodus, forgive me. And we're going to be in chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verse 28. And then we're going to read all the way down to chapter 7, verse 7. And so we're going to finish chapter 6, and then we're going to start the first part of chapter 7. Because really, they go together, even though it's broken up in our Bibles. But remember, when it was originally written, there was no chapters, there was no verses. That was later added, really for our benefit, for reference. But really, this is the same passage, and so we're going to be covering it this evening. Chapter 6, verse 28, and we'll go all the way to chapter 7, verse 7. And when you have a fam, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. I think that is all of us, and we will begin. And this is what the Word of God says. On the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? And the Lord said to Moses, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Amen. You read that and some of you are saying, I thought I was old, right? I thought I was old. You're still young, brother. You're still young, sister. This is the word of the Lord, and all of God's people says, amen, amen. Tonight, fam, I have titled our study simply Moses, the Faithful Servant of the Lord. Moses, the Faithful Servant of the Lord. If you recall, fam, at this point in our study of Exodus, Moses is in Egypt, and Moses has already gone before Pharaoh for the first time. And he has already told Pharaoh everything that the Lord commanded him to say. And really, to summarize what he told Pharaoh, he simply said, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." Remember, the Israelites are in Egypt. They are in bondage. They are in slavery. And God sends Moses to deliver them. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go. Thus says the Lord." But if you recall, Pharaoh, he hardened his heart. And that's important for us to understand that Pharaoh has already made his decision. Pharaoh is stubborn. Pharaoh has hardened his heart. And he refused to listen to the Lord. And not only did he refuse to listen, but kind of out of arrogance, he increased the afflictions and the labor of the people of Israel. So Moses goes to Egypt thinking that everything is going to get better, thinking that, man, God is going to use him to deliver the people and their situation is going to change for the better. But when he gets there, it doesn't turn out like he thought it was going to turn out. And instead of things going better, things got worse. And so that really affected Moses. As we're going to see in the book of Exodus, Moses wears his emotions on his sleeve. Sometimes I read Exodus and I think, was he Mexican? You know, because he's very passionate. He got emotion. That's why I love Moses. And so chapter 5 ends with Moses just feeling discouraged. Moses is depressed. Moses is depressed. Moses is defeated. Moses is confused. And Moses, he begins to pour out his heart to God in prayer. And literally, he's questioning God. The man of God is questioning God. Why did you send me to Egypt? Things didn't get better. Things got worse. Everybody hates me. Everybody's yelling at me. People want to stone me. Why did you send me, God? But what we see next in chapter 6 is that in the midst of Moses' discouragement, confusion, depression, God speaks to Moses. The word of God comes to Moses. And I love that because that's how it works for us. We're depressed, we're discouraged. Sometimes we're feeling confused, sometimes we're feeling down and worried and stressed. And then the word of God, through the word of God, through us just hearing a message or getting in the word or just thinking about a scripture, literally God shows up and brings peace to our soul. And that's what he does to Moses. He speaks to Moses and he assures him that he's in control, that he knows what he's doing, and that he will deliver his people, even though it doesn't seem like it right now. God knows what he's doing. He's using this. He's going to raise up Pharaoh, and he's going to allow Pharaoh for a season, for a time, to be stubborn and to refuse. But God's just going to use him in order that God might show his glory and his power. And he tells Moses, "I will deliver my people." Now, after looking at that, in our last study, we kind of got a pause. We found a pause in the story, and Moses throws in his genealogy. And really the reason why he does that is because Moses wants to connect the dots. He really wants to connect the story with the book of Genesis. He wants us to understand, hey, God promised Abraham and God promised his descendants that he was going to raise them up and he was going to give them the land And everything that's going on is a part of God's plan. It's a fulfillment of God's promise that God is going to raise up a descendant of Abraham, Moses, and through Moses, God's going to bring deliverance. And really, we said that all of that is a shadow of a picture of what's coming in the future. That one day, another descendant of Abraham is going to come, Jesus, and he's going to bring the true deliverance, not from Egypt, which was just a picture, but from sin and from hell. And so we looked at the genealogy last week. And so tonight, as we begin again in verse 28, the story just picks up from where it left off. And so God assures Moses that he's going to do the work. Moses has nothing to be discouraged about. And then God once again speaks to him and commands him to go to Pharaoh. Once again, it's time to go back to work. Moses, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop having a pity party. I'm with you. I got your back. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. Time to go back to Pharaoh. And that's what we see here. God's recommissions and recommands Moses to go to Pharaoh. And so this text is going to be our focus. Next week, we'll talk about Moses' second encounter with Pharaoh. And that's when the miracles and the plagues are going to start. Before we get there, I thought we would take tonight. And let's look at God's recommissioning, second command to Moses to go to Pharaoh. And we're going to actually focus on Moses tonight through this text. I want to share with you a few things we learn about Moses, the faithful servant, from our text. And I actually got five things that I want to share with you. And so I'm hoping and praying we can do it in a timely manner. Let's begin first, fam. First, notice there in chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Notice Moses' unique relationship with God. His unique relationship with God. Verse 28, look at what we read. On that day, when the Lord spoke to, who did the Lord speak to? Moses in the land of Egypt. Look at this. The Lord said to Moses. And let's pause right there. The first thing we see here is Moses. Moses had a very unique, special relationship with God. Now we've talked about this in the past, and we will still talk about it again in the future because it's going to come up. But God always spoke to Moses directly, always. We see that. In fact, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, we're told that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man spoke to his friends. And then in the book of Numbers, once again, and it's as if Moses is really emphasizing this, we're told that Moses spoke to the Lord in a clear way, and then we see that description again, face to face. And we're even told that Moses beheld the form of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? I don't know for sure, but it does speak of intimacy. Intimacy. It speaks that Moses, almost as if I'm talking to you face to face, Moses spoke to God in the same way. But Moses was God's friend. Moses had a very unique relationship with God. He was God's spokesperson. He was God's lawgiver. He was God's mediator between him and the people. And literally, he spoke to God face to face. And so once again, we find God speaking to Moses in a very special way. God and Moses, they have a unique relationship. And I would even say this, no one in the Old Testament, and I would even say this, I want to be careful, but trust me when I say things, I'm always careful, okay? Abraham had a very unique relationship with God, obviously, and King David and the prophets. But in my opinion, in all of the Old Testament, we're not talking about the New because that's a different thing, so to say, because Jesus is in the flesh, so we want to be careful with that. But in the Old, no one had a relationship with God like Moses. Because you don't find that description, that literally God spoke to Moses face to face as someone speaks to a friend. So that's the first thing we see here. We're reminded of Moses' relationship with God. It's a special relationship. Moses is God's friend, and God spoke to him directly. Now, this is the application, and this is what that means for us. In Christ, in the Lord Jesus, the Bible teaches us that we also have a special relationship with God. Moses had a special relationship with God. God spoke to Moses face to face, and we rejoice in that, and we're in awe with that, and we admire that. But the truth is, we as believers in Christ, in the new covenant, in the New Testament era, we also have a special relationship with God. We're God's children. We're told that we can call God Abba, Father. Literally, the translation would be Daddy. It's a term of endearment. The Bible teaches us that with boldness and with confidence, we can approach God's throne of grace to present to him our needs and our petitions and to receive from him help in time of need. I even believe that we can even hear God's voice through his word. That we can worship God and enjoy his presence. We have a special relationship with God in Christ. And so the exhortation is, don't ever forget who you are in Christ. Don't ever forget that you're a son, you're a daughter of the living God, that you're a child of God in Christ, that in Christ you have access to God's presence, that in Christ, literally you can speak to God face to face. You can enjoy God. You can present your petitions to God. You can have that confidence. You can have that boldness to draw near to God. And you don't have to worry about being rejected, or you don't have to worry about God turning you away. In Christ, the door is always open. And you are a child of God. And you will be received with open arms. And so we read this, and we're blown away. We're almost tempted to say, wow, I wish I had that relationship with God. But then you read the New Testament, and you say, I do in Christ. I do have this in Christ. But we just have to take advantage of it and not neglect it. The door is always open, but we have to walk through the door. Speak with the Lord and spend time with him. His unique relationship. Notice second, Moses' honest struggles. Look at verses 29 and 30. Now we get another hint that Moses was an emotional guy, and Moses had struggles. Look at, we read it. The Lord said to Moses, verse 29, I am the Lord, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said to the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? And let's pause right there. And so the second thing I want you to take notice of is Moses' honest struggles. Moses had struggles. The Lord speaks to him. The Lord tells him to go to Pharaoh. The Lord tells him to share with Pharaoh everything he commands him. And in response to that, once again, Moses focuses on his weaknesses. And he tells God, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me?" Now, let me just translate that for you. All he's saying is this: Lord, he's not going to listen to me because I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody, God. I'm not a great speaker. I'm not a powerful orator. I stutter. I'm not someone powerful and prestigious in Egypt. Lord, I'm of uncircumcised lips. Not worthy, Lord. There's no way Pharaoh is going to listen to me. That's literally his response. And really what we see there is Moses had honest struggles. And don't miss that, because we've looked at that and we're going to look at that again. It's a recurring theme with Moses. God tells Moses to do something, and right away, what does Moses do? He responds by pointing out his weaknesses, his deficiencies. In other words, it's always an excuse, especially at the beginning, with Moses. I'm not qualified. I'm not a good speaker, Lord. I'm not able, Lord. This and that. That's Moses. Moses had weaknesses, and he was aware of them. He had struggles. He had struggles. And the reason why I want you to notice that is because in the same way, we have weaknesses and we have struggles. I think at times, you know, we look at Bible characters like Moses or like Abraham or like David or Paul or Peter. And at times the temptation is to put them on a pedestal. And we think to ourselves, okay, there's no way God can use me like he used them. Because man, they were giants of the faith. Man, they had faith that was able to move mountains. And at times we think to ourselves, man, God can't use me. I can use them because I have too many weaknesses and I have too many struggles and I'm unqualified. But the truth is, if you actually take the time to study those heroes of the faith, you realize that they were just like us. They were just like us. There was no difference between them and us. They were filled with the same struggles, with the same weaknesses. They made the same mistakes, and some made worse mistakes than us. And in spite of all that, God used them for his glory and to fulfill his purposes. And that should bring hope to us, because really what that teaches us, that in spite of our weaknesses, God is able to use us for his glory and for his plans. God is able to use us. God is able to raise us up. God is able to send us to impact that family member, to impact that coworker, to start that ministry, to help that brother or sister. God is able to use us to do a marvelous work. And so what we need to do, and what Moses is eventually going to start doing, is we need to stop focusing on ourselves, and we need to focus on God and what God's able to do. Don't focus on what you're not able to do, because God already knows you're not able to do it. And that's why he wants to use you. For there's no guessing who gets the glory. God already knows your weakness. God knows you're not a great speaker. And God knows that you don't have this or you can't do that. But in spite of that, God wants to use you so that through your life, God might display his glory. That God might see you, that the people might see you and say, man, there has to be a God. There has to be a God. I remember I heard an amazing testimony, and it was of a very well-known preacher. He, in my opinion, is probably one of the top preachers in the 21st century, a man I look up to greatly. And he was sharing his story of how he started in the ministry, and he began to share how, you know, growing up, he never had a desire to study. He never liked reading. He just used to get by with C's all the time, and just to do enough to get by and play sports. Never had a desire. And literally, he said that when he gave his life to Christ, literally God turned him into a scholar. And he is a present-day scholar. And he said that he just had a hunger for the word and a hunger for books. And literally, within no time, he built up a huge library. And he just literally went and studied and prepared himself. God literally transformed him into a scholar. And he said on one occasion, his dad, for the first time, was visiting his home. And literally, his dad walked in and he went into his library. And he literally saw the stacks of books. And he was just so blown away that his dad literally said, "There must be a God in heaven. There must be a God in heaven. My son is reading books. There must be." And that's what they're going to say about us. We're going to see our lives. We see how God's going to use us. And say, man, there must be a God in heaven. Because that person used to be like this, and now they're this for the glory of God. Notice third, his guaranteed success. Moses' guaranteed success. Let's now read chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now God reiterates his promise, and really he assures Moses, "I'm going to do the work." And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I," and as we read this, fam, notice how much times God is going to use the word "I." "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh." Now, don't let that stumble you, okay? Don't think, okay, God just transformed Moses into a little God. No. The idea there is authority. Moses is literally going to be ministering. He's going to be preaching. He's going to be talking with the very authority of God. He's going to be over Pharaoh because God is going to be with him. That's the idea there. It's speaking of authority and power. "I will make you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment." Look at this. "The Egyptians shall know that I am Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Let's pause right there. And so the third thing we see now is Moses' guaranteed success. God commands Moses again to go to Pharaoh. Once again, Moses shares his concerns, his weaknesses. But now we see that once again, God assures Moses that he will be successful and that Pharaoh will release the people of Israel from bondage. Really, that's the pattern we see in Exodus, at least the first half. God commands Moses, and the same way God instructs us and commands us and calls us to do stuff, Moses responds with doubt in the same way we often do. "I don't know, God. Are you really telling me to do this?" We struggle with doubt. But then what God does is he assures Moses that he's with him. He's going to help him. That he's going to accomplish his will through Moses. That's what God does here. First tells Moses that Pharaoh is going to reject and resist. Remember, Pharaoh has already hardened his heart. And so the idea here is God is just going to confirm Pharaoh's decision. But God's going to allow Pharaoh to continue because through Pharaoh, God is going to deal with him and display his power and glory. And God literally tells Moses that with a mighty hand, he is going to deal with Egypt. He's going to judge Egypt, deal with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And when everything is all said and done, God assures Moses, Pharaoh will release my people. And so really what we find here is for the third time, God guarantees the success of Moses' ministry. God is always reminding, God is always assuring Moses, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's going to be hard. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be resistance. At times you're going to want to quit. It's going to be hard. Pharaoh will harden his heart. Pharaoh will resist. Pharaoh is going to go down kicking and screaming all the way. But Moses rests assured, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And that's the key. That's what I want us to focus on. God assures Moses that he will do the work. Moses is not going to do it. Aaron is not going to do it. God's going to do it. And that's why it will be successful. You know, as I was reading this this week, I was just blown away how many times God uses the word I. He's always telling Moses, I am going to do this and I am going to do that and I will and I will. All the focus and attention is on God. And I love that because really what God is telling Moses, at the end of the day, you're not going to do nothing. You're just going to be an instrument in my hand, but I'm going to do the work. I'm going to do work. And that's why it's going to be successful. That's why it's going to work. That's why it will happen. Because I'm going to do it. How we need to hear that tonight. God is going to do the work. God is going to get us where we need to be. God is going to finish the work he started in our lives. And that's why we can rest and we can have peace. That everything's going to be okay because God is going to do the work. It will be successful if God does the work. Your family will be blessed. Your marriage. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean there's not going to be resistance and obstacles. But if God does the work, who can be against God? If we do it, we're destined for failure. But when we allow God to do it, successful. The only thing we can do is mess things up. When we try to do things on our own, when we got to do things our way with our own strength, with our own power, when we have that mentality that, man, I can do this, I can change him, I can change her, I can change this situation. No. That's when we're destined for failure. But if we would just humble ourselves and say, God, I don't have this. God, this is too much for me. God, I can't change him. God, I can't change her. God, I'm not in control. When we have that attitude, God steps in. God does the work. And when God does the work, you know it's going to be successful. And that's what God tells Moses. Moses, I'm going to do this, Moses. It's hard. It's difficult. It's humanly impossible. But don't worry. I'm going do it. Notice fourth, his faithful obedience. Because look at now the reaction, okay? So Moses is discouraged. Moses is confused. God tells him, hey, go back. And Moses is making excuses. And he's like, man, Lord, I'm of uncircumcised lips. I'm not a good talker. And then God patiently and lovingly just assures Moses one more time, got you, Moses. I'm going to do the work. And look at what that does to Moses. Look at verse 6. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was faithful. Faithful in his obedience. And he followed the commandments. He had his struggles. He had his weaknesses. But God assured him that he was going to be successful, that the people would be delivered. And Moses just rested in that. He rested in the word of God, and he obeyed God. He probably still had his struggles. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, but I just don't know still. But he just, by faith, obeyed, trusted. And we're going to see that's Moses. Moses is going to be characterized by his obedience. He's always faithful to what God commands him. It doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean he doesn't have his struggles. As we're going to see, he drops the ball on one occasion. But overall, he's a faithful servant. That's how he's described in the book of Hebrews, that he's a faithful servant. He did what God commanded him to do. And that is really our example. Because that's what God is looking in our lives for. God is looking for faithfulness. God desires us to be faithful by the grace of God, with God's help, that we would be faithful. Faithful servants. And I remember once one of my professors, someone I respected just greatly, he said, how do you spell success in the Bible? And he spelled faithfulness. So that's success in God's eyes. That's what God desires out of his people, faithfulness, obedience. God would even say in one part that obedience is more than sacrifice. And God would rather you be obedient and faithful than for you to go and sacrifice everything you have and still be living in disobedience. James would tell us that we have to be doers of the word and not hearers. Jesus tells us that it's the wise man, it's the wise person who listens to his words and does them. And Jesus gives that amazing illustration that it's as if a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And when the storms come and when the winds come, that house is not going to go down. But Jesus says that the person who hears his words and doesn't put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. In other words, it's shallow. It's weak. It's unstable. It's someone who's living by emotions. And the Lord says the winds come and the storms come and the house goes crashing down. And the Lord says it's the wise builder who not only hears the word but puts them to practice. It's as if Jesus is telling us when you obey the word, when you follow the word, when you're faithful to the commands of the Lord by the grace of God, you're building your life on a sure foundation. In other words, it's something solid. That's a man, that's a woman who cannot be shooken. Because your life is on the foundation of the word of God. You're not going to be caught off guard. You're not going to be exposed, you might say. You're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared, whatever you face, because your life is built on the rock of the word. And God desires us to be doers of the word. God desires us to come and study the word. God desires us for us to read the word, to get in the word. But more than that, God wants us to take that word and apply it to our lives. Apply it to our walks. God wants us to be doers of the word. God wants the word to come alive in our lives. That there would be literally an incarnation of the word. That the word would just come alive in our lives. Because the blessings come not only hearing the word, but doing the word and being faithful. And that's what God's looking at for, faithfulness. And that's what I would encourage you tonight. Be faithful. Wherever God has you, whatever God has called you to do, wherever God has placed you, your work or your position or wherever you're at in life, be faithful. Be faithful in the small things. Just watch how God will use that. I think at times we can start whining and we can start complaining. We're like, okay, God, when's the raise coming? When's the promotion coming? God, when am I going to be asked to be up there on a Sunday? I'm tired of Adam. Get him down, God. I want to be up there. Listen, be faithful in the small. If it's the Lord's will, He's gonna get you where you need to be. Be faithful in the small. Be faithful wherever you're at. Be faithful. Faithful to your wife, faithful to your children, faithful to your church family, faithful at work. Be faithful at work. Do the work that you're paid to do. Amen. Amen. Whatever they're paying you to do. Do it. And do it with joy. Do it with thanksgiving. God has you there for a reason. And when God is ready to move you or promote you, God's going to open the door. But just be faithful. Be faithful. Because that's how you spell success in the Bible. Let us finish, fam. I don't want to take too much time tonight. Some of you are saying, man, you've already taken enough time. Oh, we're going to finish, I promise. Look at the last thing. The last thing I want you to notice, and I'm not even trying to be funny with this, okay? So please, please don't laugh. You already laughed. But the fifth thing I want you to notice his old age, all right? Notice his old age. Look at verse 7. Look at the age. Look at the age of Moses. Now Moses was 80 years old. Now, I didn't say 8. I said 80, okay? 80 years old, and Aaron, 83. They were brothers. Aaron was the older brother, obviously, years old, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Notice his old age. His old age. Moses was 80 years old when God used him to deliver his people. Remember, he's 40. He spends the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, living in the palace. Then he flees Egypt, and he spends 40 years in Midian, working as a shepherd. And then at the age of 80, now we're going to talk a little bit about this, but just think about that, okay? 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in Midian, and at the age of 80, not at the age of 45 or 50 or even 60, but at 80, God appears to Moses and sends him to Egypt. And Moses was 80 when he delivered the people of Israel out of bondage. Now, there's a lot we could say there. There's a lot of application. But I think this is the main point here. This is one of them, at least. This teaches us that it's never too late for God to use someone. It's never too late. What do I mean by that? Some of this. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your current situation. It doesn't matter if you feel that your best years are behind you. God used Moses to deliver the people of Israel at the age of 80. No matter how old you are or young you are, no matter where you're at or where you're not at, God can use you to fulfill his plans and purposes. It's never too late. In Christ, there's always hope in Christ. There's always hope. You know, sometimes the temptation is to think, man, I'm too behind. I've wasted so many years doing this or doing that, or you know, I've been slacking it, you know, all these years. God, I believe God has a calling on my life, especially when I was young and I had this fire and this excitement for the Lord. I always planned one day, man, I was going to be a missionary or a preacher or an evangelist. And I had that fire, and then life hit. Life hit, and I got married, and I had kids, and started that 9-to-5 Monday through Friday type of job. And now it's too late. It was a dream, but now the dream is over, and I'm stuck now. I think all of us wrestle with that at times. And we read this, and God says, it's never too late. It's never too late. The dream is still alive. And I'm going to use you more now than ever before. It's never too late. May that encourage someone tonight. I think that is for someone tonight. It's never too late. The dream is still alive. God could still use you. God could still give you the desires of your heart. God could still raise you up. It's never too late. Moses was 80 when God used him. Abraham was 100 when God gave him Isaac. Jesus was 30 when he started his earthly ministry. It's never too late in Christ. As long as you're breathing. It's never too late. But God can raise you up and God can use you. And God, all he's asking is that we would be available, that we would allow him to use us for his glory. God bless you, family. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the life of Moses. Lord, we do not follow Moses, for we only follow one Jesus. And Lord, we don't look to Moses for salvation because there is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Lord, by no means perish the thought. We don't worship Moses. We only worship one, the Lamb of God, Jesus. But we need to say this, Lord, that Moses is a brother in the faith. And Moses does serve as encouragement, as a mentor in the faith. And tonight, Lord, we're blessed. We're blessed by our brother Moses. Thank you, Lord, that you recorded. You recorded his life. You recorded his ministry in order to teach us something, Lord. Because, Lord, we can relate to Moses. We're all got a little Moses in us. We're sometimes emotionally and we're struggles and battles and weaknesses. We struggle even with doubt, fears. It's us, Lord. That's me, Lord. But we see how you worked in Moses. In the same way you worked in Moses, Lord, you can work in us. And we're just so thankful, Lord, for that. We trust in you, Lord. Tonight, we just trust in you. Tonight, we're reminded that the work is God's work. Our life belongs to God. And at the end of the day, we're not in control. At the end of the day, we're not the captain of our ship, but God is the captain. God is Lord. You are Lord. Jesus. And that's just how we want it, Lord. That's just how we want it. We want you to be in control. We want you, Lord, to guide, to direct, to lead. We want you, Lord, to raise us up, Lord. It's never too late, Lord. You used Moses at the age of 80. Lord, you can use us, Lord. You can use us, Lord. I believe with all my heart. For all of us, Lord, our best years are yet to come, Lord. Our best years. That God wants to do something fresh. God wants to do something new. God wants to turn our ashes into beauty. in our best years, our best times. Lord, we thank you for the past. We thank you what you've done in the past, how you've moved, how you've worked, how you've revealed yourself, how you used us. But Lord, we believe that the best is yet to come. That it only gets better in Christ. It only gets better. Our hope only gets brighter in Christ. Our focus is going to get sharper. Our love is going to grow stronger. And Lord, you're going to use us. Lord, I believe with all my heart you're going to use us. You're going to raise each of us up. And there, wherever you have us, at work, at home, amongst family and friends, at this church, Lord, you're going to use us, Lord, for your glory. We might be witnesses, that we might be servants, and that we might serve others faithfully for your glory. Lord, we love you, Lord. I just take the time to pray for every brother, every sister. Lord, I don't know, Lord, all the needs here, but I do know there are needs, because that's life in a fallen world. So, Lord, we pray for the needs. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are battling a temptation, a struggle. We pray for those who have internal problems, family issues. We pray for loved ones. We pray for the salvation of unsaved family members tonight. We pray for brothers and sisters who used to come to church and don't come no more. We pray for those who are hurting right now. We pray for those who are seeking guidance and direction, who are just waiting on you for you to show them the next move. Lord, we pray for every need. We pray for one another. Pray for one another. We commit our lives once again in your hands. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Would you, family, we got a few more minutes. Would you, in your own words, would you take the time to just thank the Lord? It's healthy, I promise you. You, in your own words, you could say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord, I bless you. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this week. Thank you, Lord, that you have got me this far. Thank you, Lord, that work has been hard, work has been long, but you've given me strength, Lord. You've given me wisdom, Lord. You've given me grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have protected my wife, my children this week. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house with the family of God. Thank you, Lord, that my problems are big, but you're bigger, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my needs are great, but you're greater, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, for your grace. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us. Wash us. Purify us, Lord. Make us whole. Give us grace, Lord, that we might serve you, that we might honor you, that we might live for you. That's our desire, Lord. We want to live for you, Lord, every moment of every day. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Faithful in the small. Faithful when nobody's looking, Lord. That's when we might shine the brightest, Lord, for you, Lord. Do the work, Lord. In the same way you did the work in Egypt, do the work in our hearts, in our lives. That when it's all said and done, you would be glorified. Thank you, Lord. We pray all of it in your precious name. And all of the family says, amen. Amen. Fam, can we give the Lord a clap offering, fam?